Let us pray. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet Amen of peace. For not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drums, but deeds of love and mercy, your heavenly kingdom comes. Amen. In 2008, after making my debut in San Francisco, singing the role of the evangelist in Johann Sebastian Bach's St. John Passion, one critic published the following review of my performance. As the evangelist, tenor Craig Lemming boasted a bright tone, crisp diction, and an exuberant stage presence. So far, so good, right? Well, then he writes, occasionally bordering on the histrionic, Lemming nonetheless forcefully conveyed the passion story, making him an appealing narrator. Yes, as a budding musician in my 20s, I admit to histrionic, melodramatic, theatrical, and over-the-top tendencies, both on and off stage. And yet, even after 10 years of working diligently to temper my exuberant ways and earning some hard-won maturity, the passion narrative in John's Gospel still evokes a visceral, emotional, compassionate response in me. The trial scene between Jesus and Pontius Pilate is incredibly dramatic, and it leaves an indelible impression on our hearts and minds. After Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" all the synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke record a rather laconic four-word response of Jesus as, "You have said so." In the Gospel according to John, however, we hear a much more engaging, dramatic, and haunting response from Jesus. As we just heard in this morning's Gospel, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" One biblical scholar discusses Jesus' remarkable statement on the origin of his kingdom and kingship, with its sharp distinction between Christ's kingship and the world. He writes, "Jesus expands upon his unique function as witness to the truth in lines that are distinctively Johannine. Pilate's question, 'What is truth?' expresses Pilate's disinterest and cynicism, but it also mirrors Pilate's profound alienation from the truth. While Christ's kingdom is living and moving and having our being in radical truthfulness, this world's empires are represented by Pilate's disinterest, indifference, cynicism, and profound alienation from the truth. When Pilate's ways are normalized by world leaders, the enslavement of African peoples, the genocide of First Nations peoples, the Holocaust, orgies of gun violence, and the willful destruction of planet Earth are some of the ways innocent lives continue to be crucified under Pontius Pilate. The words of Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel remind us that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. The opposite of life is not death, it's indifference. One resource that helps us to courageously resist the disinterest, indifference, cynicism, and profound alienation from the truth we live in today is in the collect appointed for this last Sunday after Pentecost, Christ the King Sunday. Its petition asks God, mercifully grant that the people of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under Christ's most gracious rule. The trial scene in this morning's gospel vividly represents this juxtaposition of being divided and enslaved by sin, which Pilate and the Roman Empire represent, and being freed and brought together in Christ's kingdom of unity in diversity. Now, the phrase divided and enslaved by sin might make you anxious, but do not be afraid and do not be anxious about sin. St. John's is a place of grace. And in the words of Martin Luther, God does not save those who are only imaginary sinners. Be a sinner and let your sins be strong, sin boldly, but let your trust in Christ be stronger and rejoice in Christ, who is the victor over sin, death, and the world. For me, sin is explained in our catechism. On pages 848 and 849 in the Book of Common Prayer, we read the following questions and answers. What is sin? Sin is the seeking of our own will instead of the will of God, thus distorting our relationship with God, with other people, and with all creation. How does sin have power over us? Sin has power over us because we lose our liberty when our relationship with God is distorted. We might interrogate the catechism further by asking, well, if by seeking the will of God I can avoid being enslaved by sin, what exactly is the will of God? The collect for today provides us with an answer. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, it is God's will to restore us to wholeness, to make us free, and to bring all people together in right relationship. It is Christ who proclaims God's unconditional love of all people, particularly love of the outcast. It is Christ crowned with thorns, mocked, beaten, spat upon, and lynched in front of his mother and his loved ones on a garbage dump outside Jerusalem, whom we worship as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is Christ crucified and risen who restores the selfish seeking of our own will to the seeking of God's will, which is always and forever to love and to belong to each other, to love and to belong to God, and to love and to belong to all of creation. It is Christ the King whom we worship, celebrate, and adore, the Holy One who liberates us from the slavery of selfishness, who restores us to being the image of God, which is beloved community. Our Lord's Prayer teaches us that when we persist in giving bread to the hungry, God's daily bread is given and received, our human dignity is restored, God's will is done, and Christ's kingdom has come. When we persist in forgiving each other and forgiving ourselves, God forgives us, God's will is done, and Christ's kingdom has indeed come. The language we pray creates the reality it describes. The collect's reality is that when we listen to and permit Christ, the King of love and mercy, to rule in our hearts, then we belong to God's kingdom of truthfulness. As the gospel teaches us, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to Christ's voice, a voice that calls us to be one thing and one thing only, loving. More importantly, and this is the challenge of our faith, to belong to the truth, we must listen to and obey the voice of Christ who calls us to love our enemies. As Howard Thurman wrote, it was upon the anvil of the Jewish community's relations with Rome that Jesus hammered out the vital content of his concept of love for one's enemy. And it was in Jesus' love for his enemy, yes, even his Roman enemy who crucified him, that the final barrier between the strong and the weak, between ruler and ruled, disappeared. In the kingdom of Christ, there is only perfect freedom. No one is ruler and no one is ruled. In beloved kinship, everyone is free to love and to serve one another. As Christians, whose kingdom is beloved community, we affirm in the words of the Nicene Creed this truth, that Christ the King of love and mercy will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. When we, in the beauty of all of our kaleidoscopic diversity, say these words together in unity, remember that Pilate's disinterest, indifference, cynicism, and profound alienation from the truth will always be vanquished by the King of love, Jesus Christ. To him whose love has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving God who is Christ in each other, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.